This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. Massive recovery and repair material converging on the waters around the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
In the coming days, an armada of 7 floating cranes, 10 tugboats, 9 barges, 8 salvage vessels, and 5 Coast Guard ships will join the effort.
But CBS's Chris Van Cleve says it will be months before the Port of Baltimore can reopen, while the search for 4 missing workers has been suspended because conditions are so dangerous down there. Meanwhile, Jim Salmon of the Delaware River Bay Authority says that state is taking steps to protect one of its major bridges. CBS's Stephen Stock has been talking to him.
The state is spending $95 million installing up-to-date protections on the Delaware Memorial Bridge.
If a ship would happen to lose control or lose steering and veer towards one of our tower structures, these new Dolphin cells will protect our tower structures. It's what I would call our insurance policy.
That insurance policy with new reinforced structures might have made Tuesday's crash less catastrophic. The changes to the Delaware Memorial Bridge are meant to withstand a collision with a ship heavier and moving faster than the Dolly when it hit the Key Bridge.
From the water to the air now, and CBS's Carter Evans tells us safety incidents involving commercial aircraft have left travelers spooked and doing their homework.
Passengers aren't just comparing airfare, but also aircraft, especially after the door plug blew off a Boeing 737 MAX in January. That's when the number of passengers searching kayak.com for flights that were specifically on a 737 MAX increased 1,500%. Kayak says the filter makes it easier to avoid certain planes.
As the Israeli offensive in Gaza continues, CBS's David Martin tells us the U.S. seems to be saying one thing and doing another.
A U.S. official confirms that in recent days, the U.S. has authorized the transfer to Israel of billions of dollars in weapons, including 2,500-pound bombs, even as it has warned Israel against an all-out offensive in the south of Gaza, where more than 1 million civilians are sheltering.
A Hamas-run health ministry says the death toll in Gaza now exceeds 32,700. Former President Donald Trump continues to campaign for re-election while also fighting legal battles on several fronts. And as CBS's Linda Kenyon tells us, his supporters are helping him with both.
GOP donors say they plan to raise more than $33 million at a fundraiser on April 6th. The money raised at that event will go to the Trump campaign, but also to the Save America Political Action Committee, which has been paying much of the former president's legal bills.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Some people, mainly older Americans with disabilities, are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. Outreach efforts are helping eligible people in Wisconsin sign up. Mike Moan reports.
Only about 3 in 10 people who qualify for dual-eligible special needs plans were enrolled in 2021. Experts say the option is designed for people who need additional help because of disabilities, certain health conditions, or their age. Dr. Gina Williams with United Healthcare says these plans try to take a dynamic approach to serving those eligible.
Everything from managing your wellness to managing your behavioral health needs and then everyday needs. So it's kind of a more comprehensive package for people who need a little bit more support.
Those everyday needs she mentioned include meal benefits and bathroom safety devices. Wisconsin's enrollment numbers are similar to the national rate, coming in at 28%. Christine Huberty with the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources says a tricky component of these plans is navigating provider network restrictions. A rural resident might have to travel farther to see a doctor covered under the plan, and she says that warrants careful research when enrolling.
I would say first and foremost, look at the provider network restrictions and look at what's available in your area.
Meanwhile, Williams says the push to get more eligible people to sign up coincides with more awareness about preventative care in a post-pandemic world.
They're not only thinking about acute illness, but they're thinking about overall care. Like, what was the impact of the pandemic from a psychological standpoint? Do you need more support? And then do you also need more coordination of benefits?
This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Everybody, Todd Allball, Monday noon to 2, it's the Cheese, Beer, and Radio Tour starting in Richland Center with Trigvi Olson. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and maybe a thunderstorm, a high near 49. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 35. More rain possible on Sunday, cloudy skies, 46. Rain likely Sunday night with a low around 38. For Monday, more rain, breezy, and 46.
Right now, 35.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
March 30th, 2024, Easter weekend. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha on WAUK. I'm your host, Don Brown. I am joined by our faithful producer, Anya. And we are coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios here in downtown, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And before I introduce this morning's guest, a couple quick announcements. This Tuesday is Election Day. Be sure to go out and make your vote count. We have some school board elections. We have some county legislators are up, and of course the presidential primary, but perhaps of greatest importance is the school elections. And for those of you who are still undecided, if you go to my podcast page, you'll see two different episodes with two sets of candidates from, I believe it was 2-3 weeks ago, we had the incumbents. And then the week before that, we had the challengers. So I highly encourage you to check those out if you're still deciding on who you'd like to vote for. And of course, go visit their websites. And, the more informed you are, the better choice you'll make that's suited to who you'd like to see on our school board. So be sure to check those out. And then yesterday I learned actually from listening to Civic Media that it was National Vietnam Veterans Day. And it's it's to give thanks and honor our approximately 7 million living Vietnam veterans, as well as the 10 million families of those who served during the Vietnam War period. Most military families endure the hardship and separation, uncertainty and fear, but the families of our Vietnam veterans also witness husbands and wives, sons and daughters, fathers and mothers returning home to a nation of turmoil. They watched as the vast majority received no formal recognition for their service or welcome home ceremonies hosted by their communities. Like veterans returning home from today's battlefields, those who served in Vietnam came home with both physical and unseen injuries of the war. Many of the unseen injuries suffered by our Vietnam veterans went undiagnosed and weren't understood by our medical community or citizenry as they are now. Veterans were left to meet these challenges without the assistance available today. And so we want to, obviously give thanks and remember. And for my small part, I called my fellow former alderman and Vietnam veteran, Tim Nekich. He served proudly in the Army in Vietnam and still active with the local vets organizations. He will be my guest on Saturday, April 13th, to talk about what we're doing for our Vietnam vets today, especially locally, as well as other city news. So we're great. We're glad to have Tim back. He was our guest last Veterans Day, too, and a wealth of history, too, he's collected from his service. So, but today is another great day. And I am honored to have, for this first hour, two very special guests. Coming to us remotely from the StreamYard is our the band director at Waukesha South High School, Mr. Michael DeBruin. Mike, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Great, great. And supporting us here in studio is one of the band's, we say, booster moms, Lori Leshman. Did I pronounce your surname correctly?
You did. Thank you so much. So
welcome, Lori. And you're doing well today, I trust?
I am. Thanks so much for having us here.
You bet. And so the primary reason here, other than, you know, we love the marching band, is that you guys have some very special guests coming to town next week. Mike, you want to take that one?
Yeah. So we're very lucky and fortunate to have the UW-Madison Marching Band coming to Waukesha South Auditorium on next Sunday, April 7th. And they'll be doing about a 90-minute show. It'll be starting at 2 p.m. And we just kind of wanted to invite everyone because this is a special event. The last time that they were here with us was back in 2020. And so it's kind of a special, it's a special thing to have the UW Varsity Band with us and performing a really cool show with music from the 90s, music of Taylor Swift, something Frank Sinatra. Nice. They're doing a little bit of a runout show, so it's really cool.
Now, do you believe it's Frank's world? We just live in it?
Yeah.
All right. Frank, that's got to be great music for band music.
Yeah, yeah.
So having the chairman. So terrific. Yeah. And, you know, Lori was explaining to me how the event works. They show up and they give a concert, and then is there any like kind of opportunities for engagement with the band members or your counterparts in the leadership?
Well, having been there once before, at least it was actually back in the 2020 show myself. I can speak from experience and also from what I have heard that the show is very engaging with the audience. They don't start out on stage. They come in from the sides and they do sort of a mini version of their marching show.
Okay.
And, you know, they do their high kicking and twirls with the sousaphones, and they play a lot of the songs that, you know, are designed to get the crowd really involved, like, you know, the songs from like the Badger games,
sure,
like the school fight song, the You Rah Rah Wisconsin, the ones that really get people,
sure,
you know, moving and singing along.
Sure. So now, and I have to ask, you know, they'd be obviously one of the big traditions Wisconsin popularized is when between the third and fourth quarter, they do the House of Pain song, Jump Around. Does the band participate in that in any capacity to your knowledge? They add some brass or some more percussion?
I don't recall that being in the stage show that they do.
Sure.
I mean, the show.
I just meant from the sidelines, whether, you know, if they're jamming along.
Oh, you mean during like the football games?
Yeah, it's the songs in the can and everyone's jumping around. But I wonder if the band does something that's fun to support it, to compliment it.
Mike, have you been at any of the band days with our band? Because I don't recall. I mean, I know that the band gets very involved out on the field and, you know, kind of doing their little dance routines and stuff, but I don't know if they actually play along to Jump Around.
I don't think they play along to it, but they definitely jump. And I remember seeing, especially with all the trombones and the brass, because, I mean, when you have like the stadium or the sky and the reflection of the sun off of the brass, like they're usually doing like a turn, like they're usually turning them with the beat and such. So that's pretty fun. Yeah, we did the Badger Band Day the last 2 years, and that's usually in fall, September. And the next one, I think, which we'll be going to, that's at Camp Randall. So,
nice.
But what's really cool is this is coming to us. So,
yeah, that's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, hey, we're taking your calls for South Band Director Mike DeBruin and band booster mom Lori Leshman. Local number is 414-441-2941. That's 414-441-2941. What time is the concert next Sunday, April 7th, Mike?
It starts at 2 p.m.
Okay, and how much for admission?
So admission, prices range between $10 to $15 a person.
Okay.
If you want to get a ticket, please go to Black Shirt Bands, that's all one word, .ludus, and that's LUDUS.com. And what we're very fortunate is that the proceeds from this show are going to both the UW Madison Marching Band and also Waukesha South Band program.
So, oh, great.
Yeah, so wonderful. The proceeds help us bring the band in. You know, they obviously have to pay for their transportation and everything that is associated with, you know, coming to our location. There's sort of a tradition in hosting the show where, you know, we have to provide a buffet meal for the band before they go on stage. And sure. The students look forward to these quite a bit. They come, you know, well prepared with Tupperware containers to bring home the leftovers. So So it's pretty cool to engage with the college kids that way.
Sure.
And we've had from South, I can't speak to North or West, but we've had a number of our alumni actually participating in the Badger Band. In fact, that's terrific. How we're able to be a host show or a host site for the band.
You know, some of those are scholarship. Were there any, did anyone go make the band in scholarships, to your knowledge?
I'm not aware of any scholarships with the marching band. And we were just at Madison this, you know, past week for a tour of the campus. And that wasn't mentioned. We talked a little bit about the marching band tradition,
I could be wrong. I went to high school with a friend who we actually went to the same Michigan State, who has a great marching band tradition. And
yeah.
He got a full ride there, and I thought it was for marching band. I mean, he was an exceptional student. He was brilliant, but I thought that the marching band had kicked in some funds for his education.
Well, having been through the college experience with my oldest child last year, I can at least speak to the fact that most schools will offer something for participating in some form of the music tradition. So it's possible. Great.
Neat. So, and I imagine we have some alum playing for other colleges.
I'm sure we do. Yeah. Mike, do you know of any? I mean, I personally don't know of any.
The only one that I can think of off the top of my head, I know we had a senior last year who ended up going to Purdue, and I believe I'm not sure if he's in the pep band. I know when I had talked to him before he left, that was one of his goals. And then I think at Carthage, we have a couple that are participating in, I don't know if it's pep band again, I think it would be concert band, but it's really cool. It's really neat that after students graduate that they continue, you know, utilizing their skills and participating in either college or community performances. So,
yeah, that's great. Now I have a son who's going to Eau Claire in the fall for football, and we went to visit last year for a game. And the marching band tradition, there's a lot of fun. It might be one of the biggest in the country. There's 500 members. They take up the entire visiting section behind the visiting team, you know, the smaller bleachers you typically see, and they get really loud. Even when they're not playing, they are so loud with their cheering that it's hard for the opposing team, the coaches and players, to hear each other. So it's a really intimidating factor that they have for blue gold football with the marching band.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Eau Claire is one of the schools that we visited this week as well. And my daughter was asking about you know, getting involved in the marching band. And in the introduction, they talked about the band is like 700 members or something like that. Wow. And I thought, where do they put all of these people?
Sure. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. So our guests next week, April 6th, are some other musicians from Waukesha South. They're members of the punk rock band, the Nunchucks. And they are one of four bands performing at the upcoming Shostock at Waukesha South High School on Saturday, May 3rd. Admissions $5 and all proceeds will benefit the Jackson Sparks Foundation. So much great music coming out of Waukesha South. You have to be very proud. And we're going to continue this this conversation with South Band Director Mike DeBruin and Booster Mom Lori Leshman here on This Week in Waukesha on this rainy Saturday morning. But hopefully the sun will find its way out.
Late in the morning, close to the time, and Mary's in the alley, she never stops smiling. Always love to see her, she means a lot to me, but I know she's got a hard time to make it.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
whiter wheat, classic or old-fashioned, with or without sesame seeds. With so many choices, selecting the right bun for perfectly grilled burgers, hot dogs, and brats can seem overwhelming. Baked right here in the Midwest, the Bakers at Village Hearth made your choice easy. As long as you see the familiar Village Hearth logo on the package, you know you're selecting the freshest, most flavorful buns available. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK with your host, Don Brown, with lots of support from my awesome producer, Anya. And this second song's also become a staple for me now. It's and usually it works, but not yet this Saturday morning. It's our very own, you know, Waukesha's favorite son, Les Paul, and wife, Mary Ford, with "The World is Waiting for the Sunrise." And we've been really lucky these last few weeks. When the song comes on, the sun's popping its way out. But looks like it's got a an uphill battle here with this gray sky and still some drizzly rain. So, but hard to complain after the winter we've had, or should we say the early spring we've had. So I know we had a little bit of a dusting late last week, but fortunately there wasn't a lot of heavy wind, and it was very light snowfall. It's just, it happened over like a 10-hour period overnight that it did accumulate, but it was gone before it started. So again, we've just been really, except for one rough weekend in January, it's been a wonderful winter. So I imagine the marching band, Mike DeBruin, doesn't do a lot of practice outside in the winter. Or do they?
No, I mean, other than preparing for like the holiday parade, we do like one outdoor rehearsal back in, I think it's like late November. But
well, that's right. Yeah, there's a Christmas parade. Yeah. How could I forget? And I know that North, who's got a great band tradition, I'm sure you don't like to hear that too much, but I think they played at like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and I think the Rose Bowl. I mean, this is over like many years, but that's got to be a big moment when a band gets invited. I know Waukesha West, and it kind of got overshadowed because it was in the wake of the parade tragedy, but they flew all the way out to Hawaii on the 80th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack, and they got to perform at these commemorations. And what a special moment for those young men and women to be able to participate in something like that. And so many great opportunities that our marching bands put out. Now Mike, is this your first or second full year as band director for South?
Feels like first. No, it's my second.
It's my second. Terrific. Yeah. And I imagine you must be enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the kids are great and I'm learning a lot. It's my first band job. So that's been
fantastic.
Really cool.
Sure. And did you grow up in Waukesha, Mike?
No, actually I grew up 2 hours north in Kakana.
Kakana, I love it.
The Galloping Ghosts, if you have ever heard of those.
That's right. I have, yes. So I love Kakana. Yeah. I love that whole area there in the Fox Valley. So terrific. But you love Waukesha, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. And before I forget, I do want to give a shout out to Mr. Battersby and Mr. Farmer, the band directors of Waukesha North and West.
Tom's been on my show before.
Yeah, we're three different bands, but no, they're sure. I learn a lot from them too. I love talking to them
and I know
teasing them when I can.
Sure. Do you guys still do a combined performance on the Memorial Day parade?
Yes, and that's coming up in late May. So yeah, we'll be having a rehearsal. I believe it's at Waukesha North. I'm forgetting the date. Whatever the Sunday is right before the Memorial Day parade, and then we'll be doing the Memorial Day parade combined again. So.
Yeah. That's neat. You guys stay busy year round. So not just at the football games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrific.
Yes.
So, and you also, do you teach, are you on the faculty that you teach music at South as well?
Yeah. So I teach jazz band, concert band, symphonic winds and percussion, which is also primarily known as our marching band. And then I'm also teaching beginning guitar this year. It's South. So nice. Yeah.
Any continuing education for us adults here, or mostly the you're just exclusive to the students?
Yeah, I just stick to the students. That's sure, yeah. Yeah, but if any adults want to get lessons, we encourage White House of Music. They offer some opportunities.
Well,
there,
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention there's a couple great opportunities here in downtown with Danny Faustman's Guitar Studios for Life, and sure, also here in the Outpost, they've got some great teachers. And so, yeah, I've been working, Mike, and maybe I can enlist you. I want to do a Les Paul like Guitar Town Guitar Festival, starting like in the summer. And this is obviously in the early stages, but stay tuned. Like I said, we may try to enlist you. So,
All right. Now, I'm not the strongest guitar player. I'm going to throw that out there. I'm not.
Yeah, that's fine. That's like, I'm not. I wish I was a guitar player, but it's just a beautiful instrument. And so, Lori, as a booster mom, what are some of your roles? And by the way, thanks to Christine Marks, another booster mom, for helping put this together. Her daughter Meredith's in the drum section along with your daughter. And so what are some of your responsibilities that Mr. DeBruin delegates to you?
Well, I don't know how you feel, Mike, but sometimes I almost feel like we're the ones pushing you around a little bit too much. But I'd like to say that since he's gotten his feet under him, after coming on board with us literally about a week before school started last year, he's really taken the reins and able to, drive the bus, so to speak. But the boosters are primarily there to help with fundraising efforts for our music program. And, the unique thing about band is that there's just a lot of extra stuff that goes along with it, whether it's the uniforms, the equipment. When there's events, somebody needs to keep these kids fed and hydrated, and that's a lot of what the booster parents are involved with. And then also my role in particular is just to kind of be the squeaky wheel and make sure that word is getting out about things that we're involved in or things that we need help with and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Hey, and I want to throw in March. This is obviously the second last day. March is the National Music in Our Schools Month. And so I talked about that in my first show in March, back in the first Saturday of March. And does South do anything in recognition of that month, or you keep doing what you're doing?
I don't know if it's necessarily in recognition of the month, but March is our solo ensemble time, which isn't quite as publicized as other performances. But the students start preparing in about mid-February or so they do like solos and ensembles, and they perform in front of a judge and receive a rating. And we just completed that. I want to say it was a Saturday. I can't remember the date off the top of my head, but a couple Saturdays ago, and they did a great job. It was awesome. I try to get to as many of them as I can, but they're all in like different parts of the building. That's at Waukesha West, actually. So.
Oh, nice.
And this year is actually the first time, I believe, that the state solo and ensemble competition is having a site at Carroll University.
Really?
Which is
pretty
awesome, because in past years it's always been at Whitewater. So it's a little bit further, and, logistics are a little bit different.
Sure.
But being able to have Carroll host it this year, I think, is pretty exciting.
Sure. Well, yeah. And I know, I understand it's a very competitive culture in band and music, but the solo competitions probably have to be fun for the kids, because they kind of get to innovate or do their own thing.
Sort of. Yeah. I mean, there's like a list that they have to kind of choose their music off of. But if there's something that they're very interested in doing, that's really the opportunity to do it. And what I like about that is it helps them learn something a little bit new on their instrument and helps them grow and get to that next level.
Sounds great.
Well, speaking of innovation, actually, Mike, I think you have a good example from the percussion item.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments, but want to remind everybody, in our second hour, we have varsity baseball coaches Don Radomski and John Stillman from North and South, respectively. But the conversation with the marching band continues here on This Week in Waukesha.
We'll be right back.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The biggest crane on the eastern seaboard is now on site by the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. But as CBS's Chris Van Cleve tells us, removing the wreckage could take months.
What we can see is only part of the debris. A lot of it has sunk down some 50 feet into this completely almost midnight dark blackout water that they've got to go in and cut into pieces by hand.
Meanwhile, Jim Salmon of the Delaware River Bay Authority says his state is taking steps to protect one of its major bridges.
If a ship would happen to lose control or lose steering and veer towards one of our tower structures, these new dolphin cells will protect our tower structures. It's what I would call our insurance policy.
And Pope Francis pulled out of the traditional Good Friday procession at the last minute last night, Vatican officials citing health concerns for the 87-year-old pontiff who's had bronchitis and influenza in recent months. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Marquette season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Marquette was favored to win, but lost to NC State 67-58. Head coach Shaka Smart on what's next.
I don't know. We just lost in the Sweet 16. I'm not really focused on legacy. I did tell the guys after the game in the locker room that, you know, our two seniors, Tyler Kolick and Osa Iguodaro, it's been an absolute honor to coach this entire group. The worst thing about losing today is that, you know, we don't have practice tomorrow. We don't have another game to prepare for.
Marquette's Tyler Kolick asked this after the game.
Tyler, like, how do you balance your individual accomplishments over the last couple of seasons?
I mean, not many people make it to the Sweet 16. You know, I'm just happy to be out there every time with my guys. Like Coach said, I'm just disappointed that it's over.
College hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team losing 3-2 in overtime to the defending national champions, the Quinnipiac Bobcats, who advance in the NCAA tournament. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and maybe a thunderstorm, a high near 49. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 35. More rain possible on Sunday, cloudy skies, 46. Rain likely Sunday night with a low around 38. For Monday, more rain, breezy, and 46.
Right now, 35.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
tragedy. You're close to folks you have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse?
You're listening this week at Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And if you're listening to this show on the radio, don't forget to download the Civic Media app and take This Week in Waukesha wherever you go, as well as all the great programming we have here on this station and also throughout the Civic Media atmosphere or world stratosphere. What are we calling it now? Nation?
Ecosphere? So,
ecosphere. I like that. Thank you, Anya. Yep. Anya, my producer. And so, you know, when you're traveling around the state, there's all these, there's over 20 stations that Civic Media owns. And so you get some great local news, great local program, great local content. Learn about some of the marching bands in those communities. And the song you just heard is the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones with the impression that I get. Lori knows him. So Mike knows him. And so I was trying to pick a fun song that had brass and percussion and like march. Like that would be a good one for the marching band to cover, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love ska. I love ska style music. That's we'll have to incorporate that in a little bit.
There you go. My guest earlier was either this month or the previous month was Ken Machieski. He's a West dad, and I believe his daughter, his children are their marching band. And he started when he was up in college at St. Norbert or Lawrence, he started a ska festival called Ska Appleton. And then I think it stopped. And then it's he was, by popular demand, he was asked to start it back up. So I guess it's Mother's Day weekend there in Appleton. So big shout out to Kenny. We got to have him back on or have a, you know, it'd be great to have a jam with the different bands on one of these Saturdays. That'd be fun. So if we had the space, so right. Yeah. We might have to get a bigger space to do that. So now we're finishing a conversation. Laura, you had mentioned an example and it had to do with the solo competition. Is that what we were focusing
on? Our percussion section did a selection of music that, and I don't remember the ethnic tradition of it, but it was something about like a hunting song or something like that, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Kabi by G. Michael Roy. Mm. And what's really interesting about it is like, yeah, that style of music, it's kind of used to try and like a prep before hunting. And one of the fun things in terms of learning that piece was there's supposed to be an antelope horn. And we tried a few different ways of making that sound work, and we just couldn't. So one of our percussionists ended up doing a trumpet instead, and it was just kind of, it was funny because when you're ordering those types of odd instruments offline, sure, you have no idea what you're gonna get.
Right, right. And
yeah, so we got a couple of interesting, I guess, props now.
That sounds like a job for Joel Clayfish in our hunting show.
Yeah.
To go over and get an antelope horn for our bands.
I love
clearly, they need one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Joel's a North
graduate.
You
can make a profit too.
Yeah. Joel's a North graduate. So, yeah. No, that's a great idea, Anya. Thank you. So, yeah. What is Joel's show on now? Because I know there's been some programming changes.
Yes. So, it's a pre-recorded show and it plays out on weekends now, I think. At noon today, and I think at 3 p.m. tomorrow being Sunday. Okay. So
I think it's 11. I think Charlie Barron's the Kripes Crass is noon, isn't it?
Yes.
So Joel's on at 11, but it's a great race in Wisco. And for those of you that are part of the hunting tradition or even just cooking with like game proteins, Joel's got some. I love that show. So Joel Clefish with Danielle Fairman, a Waukesha South graduate. So North and South well represented on Joel's show. So check that out. Hey, I wanted to skip over to the Carol Minute. I think I'm going to need two Carol Minutes because we got a lot of great information. So, but we'll try to, maybe we'll do one in each hour here. But first one coming in from Triple G, Greg Wansnyder. The best thing I ever ate is happening at Carroll University this coming Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Triple G will have a dish in the mix. And to register, you can email dining@carroll.edu. And you can try a peanut butter and bacon burgers with harchado to drink, as well as other great dishes. So thank you for sharing that, Triple G. And then also the Pioneer Golf Classic will be held on June 24th to benefit Carroll Athletics. It's the 54th annual. It takes place at the Legend at Merrill Hills, so really nice. So to register, check out gopios.com. There's a breakfast and then a shotgun start. It starts early. And then the 19th hole celebration, which I can, that's usually my favorite hole when I, in the rare occasions that I do golf. So, and then the women's basketball all-district team announced Tuesday morning included two players, junior Olivia Ranhel and Chloe Halverson. They each earned the distinction after helping the Pioneers to a program record 23 victories this season, winning both the CCIW regular season and tournament championships for the first time in program history. So it's great to see the accolades continue for that fantastic program. And we're not done just yet with women's athletics at Carroll, because the that fantastic lacrosse team they have won a really tough victory last night up at River Falls, 11-9, a hard-fought non-conference game at Raymer Field. And Grace Brockman and freshman sensation Elizabeth Wang each scored four goals in this triumph. And got to give a big shout out to this freshman sensation, Olivia Wang. Last week against Edgewood College, she scored six goals in a 19-6 triumph, and she was just three shy of the school's single game record. And her 9 points in that game, three assists, are two shy of Carroll's, also shy of Carroll's single game record. So congrats there. And we're going to do minute number two in the second hour, because a lot of great news coming out of Carroll. But back with our friends from the marching band, band director Mike DeBruin and booster mom Lori Leshman. What else do you have to do to prepare for this big event next Sunday with the Badger Marching Band coming to perform?
Well, Mike, go ahead.
Oh,
Mike.
Sorry. I was just going to say probably the biggest thing is just me and the students getting the stage set and ready and working with our custodial staff. So shout out to Mike and Mr. Schreier, who are have been in contact helping making this all possible. And Mrs. Schamberg, too, who is our theater director. And so it's a lot of collaboration to get it all together. And, of course, the boosters and the food and all everything. So, sure. Yeah.
Is it safe to ask, what would we do without Dan Schreier? He's really done a remarkable job there as the school's AD and assistant principal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he pretty much lives at South. Like, I really feel they should just build an apartment above his office, you know, so yeah, condo something, because he's always there, very supportive, very hands-on and involved, and so yeah, he's awesome.
Well, and he's still very active. Like he runs triathlons, he runs religiously, and so like on a day that there's a game at night, you'll see Dan will go out for a run and he'll come back and you'll see him like in his sweats, or he'll run, take a quick shower, and he's yeah. So you're right. I think he does have like maybe a secret like bat cave there. So yeah. But it is terrific to see the support that you get from the AD and really mm-hmm. really director of activities. So I mean, he's just a big yeah. fan of all the different wonderful things we have going on there. And that does remind me, Raise the Bar is coming up in April. I forget the, I think it's Saturday the 13th, but we'll confirm that. We have here in residence now at the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, our my guest in the next hour, Waukesha North coach Don Radomski and Waukesha South coach John Stillman. I imagine John would know the exact date and time for Raise the Bar. And it does take place at the Stackner Ballroom at Carroll University, and a wonderful fundraiser. It's an 80s theme night, too. So my wife's already got her outfit picked, and I'm still debating what I should wear. So, but yeah, maybe we'll see you there, Mike and Lori. That's a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, the band boosters have a table purchased. I think they're called like a super fan table.
Love it.
So yeah, a number of us will be there.
Sounds great. Super, very appropriate too for the marching band. So terrific. So now, Mike, in your first role, is there any like goals you have for the band program that you'd kind of like to put your signature on?
Oh, see, I don't know about a signature on anything really. My biggest goal is to try and keep the program going and trying to grow it. Those are the two main priorities. And I mean, obviously I want the kids to learn and have a good time. So that's sure. In terms of a signature, I don't know about a signature, but yeah, just trying to do the best I can.
Sure.
I don't know if I can go here, but isn't next year's marching band show a little bit your signature?
March Fest?
Oh, yeah. Oh, March Fest. Yeah. The marching show theme next year is the sky's the limit. It's probably the, like I said, I've learned a lot coming in to the role in this last year, especially seeing Washoe West and Washoe North shows and analyzing the show as like a story and trying to tell a story. And what does that mean? Because when I was getting judge feedback from the shows that we were at, I never really understood it until I was watching their shows. And so with next year's marching show, we're going to try to go a little bit more in that direction in terms of we're going to be doing, it's a Michael Jackson theme show, but it's not meant to be a Michael Jackson like hits. It's right. meant to kind of showcase his story through his music, through his life. So
nice.
I guess, I don't know, maybe it's a signature. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Sure. But, sure.
Yeah.
Well, same thing, especially when I think Jackson 5, there's got to be a lot of like a great, that's adaptable to marching band. That'd be a lot of fun. Like I think of ABC right away. That could be a great marching band.
Yeah, no, and I love, probably out of his career, I mean, obviously there's Thriller and stuff, but I love the Jackson 5 era. It was just so sure. cool though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Performances, yeah.
Sure, sure. So now, Ohio State, one of the more fabled marching band traditions, has the dotting of the I. And people still get excited about it, games, and there's definitely have we thought about a kind of a tradition or a signature like that for South marching band during the games, crossing Ooh, the
that's a great question. Last year we tried doing like a WS. I think like before the show, that's something I would like to try and bring back. It's a little challenging with numbers.
Sure.
And like with sound, because you want students to be able to hear each other, and when they're on the field, it's kind of tough, you know, in general. But that's all I can really think of off the top of my head. But we really like to bring some pep band to the football games in fall, and trying to make pep band a little bit more of a thing in during basketball games in spring. So
sure. Yeah. Well, I think it's gotta be fun too, because you also, there's the jazz band too, so you really get to mix it up.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I don't know, I'm probably going to embarrass my two students, but I'm going to say it anyway. So you mentioned the nunchucks earlier.
Yeah.
Two of the students from the nunchucks are in jazz bands.
Is that Evan Bendixson? Is one of them? Or no, the other?
No, there are two others. But yeah.
Sounds good. So it's okay really to cool say their name over them. The air if you want, because they may be on the show next week with Evan. So.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to.
You're going to keep
I'm
it.
Gonna
okay.
I'm going to take the safe route, and I'll just.
That's
like,
fine. Yeah.
When I see
that's
him fair. On Tuesday, I'll give him a hard time. But
there you go. Yeah. Say, hey, yeah. I wanted to make you guys, you know, shine, but, you know, you didn't give me the blessing.
Yeah. So, I always give him. I give him a hard time because they told me to look him up on TikTok. So I looked up nunchucks on TikTok. And now my algorithm is just guys doing nunchuck. Like,
oh, tricks, yeah. So. Yep. Yeah. That's hilarious. So, they did. Evan sent me a video via email yesterday that I've yet to open up, so I'm going to check that
cool.
out. I'll pass it along to you. I'm sure you won't mind.
So yeah, absolutely. They performed at the Spring Talent Show. That was the Friday before spring break, so a week ago.
Sure, sure.
There. So they did a great job. It was really cool.
Now another South band, I believe it's Bunny Moon. Any members in your marching band there? It's
Bunny Blues.
Bunny
yes.
Blues.
Bunny
I'm sorry.
Blues.
Thank
yeah,
you.
There's two of them. Yeah, two of them.
So that's great.
That's really cool.
I love it. So, hey, don't forget, folks, the city's annual Brush Branch pickup will take place the week of April 1st through the 5th. That's next week, weather dependent. Please place your brush branches out by 6 on the day of your neighborhood's garage collection. Branches should be on the terrace grass area between the curb and the sidewalk. Do not place material in the road or block the sidewalk, and keep them loose on the ground. So, the conversation continues with Mike DeBruin and Lori Leshman of Waukesha South's band as they prepare for a special visit from the Badger Marching Band next Sunday, April 7th.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening This Week in Waukesha, and the song you listened to was Center Field by John Fogerty, from originally from CCR. And, of course, it's baseball season, and the Black Shirts Waukesha South had their home opener on Thursday night in an exciting victory over the Popes of St. Pius, 3-2, a pitcher's battle. Brighton Staub, senior lefty, got the win. After pitching forward one third innings, and then in relief, Tyler Conger shut things down for the Blackshirts with eight outs, and just a great effort. Coach John Stillman's here in studio. He'll be on in the second hour along with North Coach Don Radomski, and the two teams scrimmaged as well on Wednesday afternoon in the blistering cold, more like football weather, but they were on the diamond. So really looking forward to having them on. We're here with Waukesha South Band Director Mike DeBruin. And band booster Mom Lori Leshman. Mike, do you envision maybe the marching band coming to play at or getting your friend Tom Battersby and having like a march off, a battle of the bands at like an upcoming North and South game? You know, that's Frame Park's a home stadium for both teams, so you know, it could be a home and home series between the two bands.
It's interesting you mention that. We've Mr. Farmer, Ms. Battersby, and myself, we've talked about trying to do a combined pep band thing. It's just been a struggle with scheduling something like that throughout the year, but that's
sure.
I think I'm hoping next year we'll be able to pull something like that off. We'll see.
Yeah. It's not like you guys have a lot to do with all the other, competitions and events that you put on and all the great, training that you do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But no, it'd be fun. Like I said, like with the Memorial Day parade, when we combine, that's always fun, you know, to see everyone play together.
And, yeah. Very meaningful for sure. So, and then you also do the 4th of July parade? I forget. I know North does.
We do not, no.
Okay, no. Sure. It's probably, a little too hot for your liking, I would imagine. So, but you, of course, you do the Christmas parade, and so that's fantastic. So now, April 7th, what time is it? 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock?
2 p.m.
2 p.m., and that's at the Waukesha South Auditorium.
Correct.
The University of Wisconsin Badger Marching Band, hosted by our beloved South Blackshirt Marching Band. And
yeah.
Proceeds benefit both band funds, if you will. So, which go a long way for helping with instruments, travel, music.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yes.
And then what a great time, too, on a Sunday afternoon, especially if you love music and you love marching band music. And, you know, to have a top caliber Big Ten marching band coming. That's got to be a real treat for your kids and you know, for the community. So
yeah, it'll be high energy, high fun. So
sure.
And I don't know if I mentioned this before, there'll be a little bit of concessions available as well. So it'll be like nice. It's a 90 minute show, but there'll be a 15 minute intermission. Sure. And so okay. Yeah, it'll be a fun time.
Will there be a sushi bar? I'm just kidding.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can. Maybe I'm, that,
talking about raising the bar, which is also good. That's maybe one of your students will come in and do like a they may force the help sales too, I imagine.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah.
Only kidding. But yeah, you must be thrilled. What have we not discussed about the marching band program that you want our listeners to know about?
That's a great, not 100% sure. I mean, it's just a phenomenal program that goes back. I'm not 100% sure how old the marching band program is, but I know like we just celebrated our 100th year of the band program in general, last year. In Waukesha, and it's just been a really cool kind of coming into like all the traditions, and like we mentioned before, March Fest, which will be next fall. Oh, I'm forgetting the date. September 27th or 20th, whatever that Saturday is.
Sure.
September 27th or 29th.
Yep. That one's hard to miss.
Yeah, so and that's our biggest fundraiser, so yes, please definitely check that out if you haven't before.
And it will be our first time in the new renovated Ken Hollab Field too.
That's right. Yeah. Great point. They're getting going on that. It looks very impressive. So
yeah, very excited to see those changes. So
absolutely. Yeah. So and it's the largest band competition in the state, I believe, Southfest or Marchfest.
Aside from the state marching band competition. Yeah, it is.
And it's for sure it's the oldest, from what I understand.
That's what the history notes tell us. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously, great. None of us have been around since the beginning. So,
far too young.
So, but we hope to be, having this conversation 10 or 20 years from now as you build the tradition. So, it's got to be exciting.
So, one of the interesting facts, though, about Marchfest, and Christine Marks actually brought this up, I think, last year, is that what's unique about our Marchfest show is that it starts in the afternoon, so it's performed under the lights, which many other competitions are not. And we have one of the highest press boxes in the state, southeastern Wisconsin, which for the judges and even for the spectators, obviously they can't sit in the press box. Right. But, it just gives a different perspective to the show, which is kind of fun. And all of the students and participants really enjoy that as well, especially the part about being under the lights. It does add something to the show.
Yeah, I love it. So any final comments as we wrap up this first hour about the visit from the Badger Marching Band, the South Band?
Just like we hope to see you next Sunday, April 7th. The show starts at 2 p.m. Tickets are on blackshirtbands.ludus.com.
It's $15 to pre-order or $10 to pre-order, $15 in person?
Prices range from $10 to $15 depending on where you choose to sit. Obviously, the closer to the stage, a little bit more expensive.
Yep.
And, we encourage people to buy their tickets in advance just so that they can just walk right in and not have to stand in line to buy tickets and just get to their seat and get ready for the fun.
Sounds great. And, Mike, I want to thank you for making yourself available. I know it's a holiday weekend for your family, or you're doing some travel today, but appreciate you dressing up in the black shirt, the red shirt and black tie. I know baseball coach John Stillman is not dressed the way you are, so we'll have to give him a hard time about that. But thanks so much for joining us, South Band Director Mike DeBruin, South Band Booster Mom Lori Leshman. Best of luck with the visit and concert from the Badger Marching Band next Sunday, April 7th, 2 p.m. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And stick around for our second hour on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app, The Shaw.
Home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, last call. Gotta get you fired up. Out to the polls Tuesday and voting in some very important local races.
No one wanted to hire me. They just saw my disability, but not me. I worked hard to get the education and the skills needed to thrive. I was ready to work. Then someone believed in me and said yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support for people with disabilities and their employers to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker.